Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is March 6th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotoVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Absolutely love having you guys on live. We do have a guest speaker today, so we're going to do things a little differently than we usually do, which is, you know, we're going to jump right into, instead of starting kind of with the open discussion, we're going to jump right into inviting our guest in today. We're always super excited to have guest speakers in, but today, usually we do spend a little bit of time talking about convention, which is coming up here next month. And, you know, a lot of times people ask me, you know, should I go? Should this be something that I do? You know, and particularly, I mean, I always, because we tend, MotoVitality, when we do our training, we tend to work with a lot of new dealers and a lot of people coming in that have never been. And, man, it's a resounding yes for anybody who's coming in and trying to get into the industry and to learn. You know, I mean, there's such a wealth of knowledge, plus, you know, the opportunity to meet suppliers. But it's not just that. And we've talked on this call many, many, many times about getting out of your bubble, right? You know, living, a lot of us work right in our little areas, and we know those little areas. But our industry is so much bigger than just our little communities there. And the first time you go to one of these WQA conventions and you walk out onto the floor, it just hits you. It's like, wow, this thing is so huge. It's this industry is so much bigger than just my little bubble. And so we're super excited. Rather than having me just kind of talk about convention and convince you guys why you should go, we invited Angie Silberhorn, who is WQA's events director now, and she's been with WQA for about 4 years now as the event director, but actually comes to our industry with over 30 years of event planning. And this is something, you know, I think that those of you that have been involved with WQA for a while understand that WQA has been making a lot of changes in the last few years to try and make it more attractive for members to come and to offer more resources. But I'm going to introduce Angie and kind of let you, Angie, I'm going to kind of give you the floor here and kind of tell people from your perspective what's different this year than previous years and why should we bother with it? Why should we go?
Sounds great. Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here because I love nothing more than talking about our convention because I live it and breathe it year-round every day. So love the opportunity to speak with you and your audience about our convention this year. So a little bit more about me. You mentioned I've been in the events industry for a very long time, but very specifically association events, nonprofit association events. And they're so unique in the world of events and so special to me. So I've spent the majority of my career producing association events for different types of associations. I'm loving getting to know all of you and this industry and how events can really elevate all of you and elevate your jobs. I'm a big believer that a rising tide lifts all boats. And I know that's what we're doing here. I know that's what we're doing with our convention. So this will be my fifth WQA convention. Funny, fast story. My day one on the job was get on an airplane and fly to Las Vegas for the day one of the 2021 WQA convention. So anybody who was there, you might recall that convention was delayed because of COVID. So that was in late July of 2021 in Las Vegas. So I've literally been living the WQA convention since day one of when I started with the organization. So loving it, excited about it. More than ever, I'm excited about this year in particular because of the changes you mentioned. It's the first time in more than 8 years that we have deviated from that Las Vegas-Orlando rotation. Sure. I don't know about you, Kelly, but a lot of our members were telling us that they were ready for that change.
Yeah, yeah, I miss it. I think the one before that, the last one we were was Denver, right? And then we went back to, and Denver was great. You know, I always loved going to the different cities.
Yeah. They were peppering in, for a little while, they would pepper in a third city, but still keep that Orlando, Vegas. But
yeah.
What we've been doing for the last couple of years is listening, a lot of listening to our attendees and our members. And that's what's driving the changes. You know, when we were listening, especially with Las Vegas, you know, so many people love Vegas. There's no question about that. But there was an overwhelming voices telling us that, yeah, they were kind of over Vegas and wanted to shake it up and get to some different destinations. And so that's what we did with the selection of Long Beach. So the convention will be in Long Beach, California, April 22 to 24. I believe we're about 42-ish days away, but who's counting? So the change from Las Vegas was something that we heard loud and clear from our participants. But the other thing that we heard loud and clear was, in a destination like Las Vegas and Orlando, it's really hard for our group, which we're around 3,000 total participants every year, give or take. 3,000 is a lot of people, but in a city like Vegas and Orlando, it's really easy to get swallowed up by the millions of others. So in a destination like Long Beach, I have experienced this with other groups in the past. When a group of 3,000 goes into a city like Long Beach, unlike a city like Vegas or Orlando, you feel it. We're going to take over that city. We've got the entire convention center. We've got 10 of the hotels in town. When you go out to dinner at night, you're going to be running into our folks instead of a million other people that you don't know. So it's going to feel different, and we're really excited about that. And that was something that our participants had communicated to us as well, is that feeling of loving that intimacy of getting everybody together, because that just elevates the networking experience. And the networking experience, after all, is really at the core of why we do this. I have no doubt that many of you on the call know one another already, but you probably don't know everyone, right? So being able to meet people is really at the core of the experience that we're delivering. So we've been listening, and those are some of the things that drove the destination change. That's the first new thing this year. Some of the other new things this year, again, from listening to participants, we're going to start every day. We're going to kick off all 3 days of the event with a general session. So it's not just one keynote session and a whole bunch of breakouts anymore. We've still got that great keynote session, but we're going to start every day all together, with everyone all together, hearing the same content, listening to the same message in the same room. That was something else. That actually came from feedback from some of our events committee members, that they wanted the opportunity to be all together more often. Again, speaking to that intimacy, that intimate feeling. So we're going to be generating that. We'll start every day with these 3 general sessions, plus wrapping up the day on Tuesday, day one, with our keynote session. So that's a little bit of a change in format. We still, of course, have the very core of the event, which is the trade show. The trade show is on the Wednesday and Thursday of the event. That really drives to the heart of bringing the manufacturers and the dealers together to network with one another. Many of our exhibitors tell us that they're there for customer relationships more than they're there for generating new sales leads. Now, you know, let's call a spade, right? Many of our exhibitors are, in fact, there to generate new leads, but our dealers are also there to find out what additional resources might be available to them, products, services that they maybe aren't familiar with. That's what happens on our trade show floor. And you're right, it's big, but it's also not so big that you feel swallowed up, right? It's a I feel like in all the trade shows I've been involved in across my career, and I've been involved in like the National Restaurant Show, for example, which at the time was over 90,000 people.
Wow.
And others that are like 1,000 people. And ours is just such a great size. It's such a perfect size that there's enough there for you to see to spend your time, but it's not so overwhelming like, you know, you're in a sea of a million square feet of trade show space. So trade show on day two of the trade show, we're hosting a brunch.
Oh.
So on Thursday morning, we kick off with that general session in the morning, and then we go right into the exhibit hall where we've got our exhibitors helping us, and we're hosting a brunch. So there's going to be more to do on the trade show floor on day two besides just get around to the rest of those exhibitors that you haven't had a chance to see yet. But we're going to have games to play. We're going to have some light food and beverage, including those Bloody Marys that you need the day after all those exhibitors were entertaining on Wednesday night. Right. So we're just going with it. We're going to have some fun on the last day of the expo. So that's something else that's new that I'm really excited about.
And boot camp is different this year too, right? When is boot camp occurring, or is it?
It is not. So that's another change. Thank you for that. Yeah. We've shifted the focus of dealer-centric education. So boot camp, if anybody's not aware of, We did boot camp for a few years, and it was really targeted to dealers and business operations specifically, like helping dealers get additional education and networking specifically around business operations for dealerships. We've taken that similar content, and we've woven it all into the convention so you don't have to carve out an extra day or pay an extra fee for it. So now we've got dealer content spread throughout the convention, spread throughout the education sessions on Tuesday and Wednesday. And we have, we're hosting what we're calling the Dealer Deep Dive. And our keynote speaker is hosting and presenting that very engaging and interactive workshop. So it has a limited capacity on it. That's the caveat to this. So that it can be a really intimate, dealer-focused, engaging, very interactive session with our keynote speaker. It's not another lecture. So she's driving the capacity on that. We're working with her right now to see if we can squeeze in a few more because it has reached its capacity right now. But we're working on trying to open up some more spots. We also know that on-site, there's going to be some spots that open up because, you know, people change their mind, their schedules change, things like that. So I don't have any doubt that we'll be able to get some more people into it. So boot camp has changed. Yeah, we have evolved boot camp so that it no longer requires more time and more money. We've just woven it right into the convention to increase the value of attendance for dealers.
So, Angie, can I ask you, you know, one of the things that I encourage people to look at when they're going to, you know, when they're considering convention. I mean, so you're talking about a lot of dealer focus, right? And it is true that mostly it's dealers, it's owners and managers that go. But I often encourage my clients, a lot of the dealers and managers, to consider taking salespeople or service techs, you know, people who are not necessarily currently in a leadership role in the dealership, because I found that there was just so much, it can generate so much enthusiasm for the industry and what we're doing. Is there still going to be those types of things for, you know, if I would encourage a dealer to take a salesperson or a service tech or an installer, what are those non-management or leadership individuals going to get out of convention?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things, and I think you're exactly right. I appreciate that. There's really something for everyone. And I think in that respect, we have a lot of technical education. Content and topics that maybe they're not exposed to in their everyday, day-to-day job, but that's important to understand for their personal career growth and for the growth of the organizations that they work for, that's helpful for them to understand. There's also certainly, as we all know, in staff development, there's value in seeing the bigger picture, seeing what's important to the industry outside of the day-to-day job that you're doing. And what they're doing on a day-to-day basis is very critical, but they may not have time to think outside of their normal day-to-day jobs. And this is what gives them that opportunity and gives them an opportunity to get continuing education. Maybe they're working towards professional certification. And they want technical education for the CEUs that they need. We've got a lot of continuing education credit opportunities that support first-time certification or maintaining certification. So there's a lot of meat there from purely the education standpoint, but just the value in networking. I know even in my professional career, but every association convention that I've ever worked on, the value in getting to meet and getting to forge relationships with people who do the same thing that you do, work in the same world that you do on a day-to-day basis, but you don't get to talk to them on a day-to-day basis. There's just tremendous value in that, and it helps build passion for the industry, I think. But what do you think about that?
No, I 100% agree. I think it's like, as I was saying earlier, it kind of gets them out of their bubble. Now, let me ask you this. In the past, we've recorded sessions, and for people that, you know, one of the, and I run into this, and I don't know if there's any way around this unless you've found a way to address this, but sometimes when you're looking at the schedule, there'll be three classes that I want to attend that are all happening at the same time. And as much as I would love to be able to split, you know, my, you know, to be three places at once, I can't do it. So, And, you know, I've been able to go back and gain access, and it's not the same as being live, but been able to review those classes. Are we still having opportunities like that? Or, you know, is there an opportunity for somebody who, you know, just in is not able to attend the convention, who would love to, who could find value in that education? Are we still recording them and making them accessible to members to view later? Has any of that changed?
Yeah, so what, again, and the listening and paying attention to what's going on, what we've learned from that experience, we've learned a couple of things. One, if you were listening to them, you were one of only a handful of people who were actually listening to them post-event. It sounds great in theory. It makes perfect sense in theory, but folks just weren't doing it. Now, of course, we don't know for sure why, and it may be just that everybody goes back to their business and gets engrossed in their very busy schedules and day-to-day responsibilities and just doesn't have time to circle back to it. But not many folks were taking advantage of that. I also suspect, as we all know, in the post-pandemic era here, we all learned about virtual learning and virtual interaction. We got thrown right into that just a few years ago, right? So we've also learned that for virtual education, it needs to be delivered a little bit differently than live in-person education. And so that the live in-person was less effective when we transferred it to the virtual world from a continuing education standpoint. So we, this year, are not currently planning on recording anything. So that just means you have to be there to hear it.
Okay. And in education, you know, you mentioned professional certification and education. Are they bringing back the on-site testing? Is there going to be an opportunity for people to take their certification exams at convention this year?
Yeah, there is. There's going to be an exam on Thursday, on the last day of the event. So yeah, there's going to be people taking and passing their exam right there on site.
Yeah, good, good. What's the most exciting thing? I mean, if you had to pick one thing that you're most excited about that's different than what we've done before, what would you say that is?
Wow. I'm excited about all of it this year.
Was that a gotcha question? Sorry.
Maybe, but, you know, quite ironically, it might be. So there's two things I haven't talked about yet, and it's funny because why didn't I talk about them yet? Because they might be the things I'm most excited about. I don't know. Two new things. So one is our new Hydro Pitch Challenge. So have you read anything about the Hydro Pitch Challenge yet?
Tell us.
So we have partnered with the Water Council out of Milwaukee on this. They every year host a competition called The Brew. So we've got three of the teams that have participated in that in the past for our first year of the WQA Hydro Pitch Challenge. So think Shark Tank. Okay, we've all seen Shark Tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think Shark Tank. So in our Wednesday morning general session, these three challengers are going to be pitching to a panel of industry expert judges. They're going to be pitching their new innovative products that are either not yet to market or very brand new to market. And these are startups. These are not like our big exhibiting companies, our big manufacturer companies that are already out there and just have a new product. These are startups. These are true startups. And they're going to be pitching these products. And the prize is mentoring. So instead of the judges like on Shark Tank, they're investing their cash, their money, right?
Yeah.
So we're not talking about cash prizes, but we're talking about, imagine if you could be mentored by the president of one of our major manufacturers in our industry for the next year. So they're pitching their products so that our audience gets to see all of this live. They get to see these pitches. They get to see the interaction with the judging panel. And then after that, their products will be on the trade show floor available for our audience to go and see them, ask them questions, talk to these entrepreneurs about what they're doing. I think it's pretty cool.
That's kind of interesting. That is pretty cool. Yeah. No, I have not heard a lot about that. That's a unique idea. That's kind of fun. What's the other one that you said you hadn't talked about?
So the other one, and this is where I geek out more than just a little bit. We're getting, on the surface, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but we're getting a new convention mobile app. And by calling it a mobile app, it really doesn't encompass all that it is and does. But we're stepping up our technology game. So it's going to be launched 3 or 4 weeks ahead of the convention because it's got a whole online component. So you can start planning your entire convention experience ahead of time. It will have it uses AI technology, so it'll suggest people to you based on your own demographics. It'll suggest other people that you might want to meet and get to know at the convention because they have similar demographics to you or similar interests to what you do. So you'll be able to use that tool to meet up and really elevate your networking experience. It also has the ability to schedule appointments. So not just exhibitors scheduling appointments with customers, but everyone scheduling appointments with everyone else throughout the entire convention experience.
Is that something?
And then it'll have the standard stuff too.
So that's something that is free for attendees to use. Is that something that exhibitors or dealers or manufacturers would need to register with to make sure, are they automatically registered as an exhibitor?
Everybody has access to it. It's included with your convention experience for everyone. So exhibitors will all have a profile. A company profile and individual contacts for their companies will be built in there. We're actually going to be hosting an exhibitor webinar to teach exhibitors about the app and how to maximize usage of the app coming up in a couple of weeks. I will be hosting that along with our exhibit operations team and along with the tech people from our app company will be teaching exhibitors how to use it and how to make the most of it. And then starting next year within that, there's going to be some even better technology for everyone to use. We're stepping it up in that technology again next year as well. So we're stepping up our tech game.
Excellent. I think that sounds super excited. I can't wait to, as an exhibitor, I can't wait to see that. I'm kind of excited about that. That's pretty interesting. Real quick here before we finish up, anything final that you want to add about, about convention or a final plug as to why people should attend or if they've never been before, any final comments about it?
I would just say really, if you've been every year for the last 25 years, come this year because it's going to be new and fresh and different. It's not going to be the same old experience. If you've never been to the convention in the past, this is the year more than ever to come and check it out because it's new and it's fresh and it's exciting. And the buzz about it is great, so we're expecting a great turnout, so your networking is going to be amazing. And then lastly, I would say don't delay. If you want to get a great hotel room in one of our official hotels, most importantly at our discounted rates, you're going to want to book it before March 28th because after that, rooms can't be guaranteed and the rates can't be guaranteed. So make sure you get your registration done and your hotel room booked by the end of March in order to guarantee the best possible rates and the best possible hotel rooms.
So, Angie, let me ask, I got 2 minutes left here. So let me ask you this kind of on a personal note. You've spent a lot of time in association event planning, and you've spent the last little over 4 years with us, or I guess under four years, right? And what do you think of our industry? I mean, from a personal standpoint, and a human and a person, I mean, I know it's your job and you said it's a perfect size, but what do you think of the water industry?
The two things that jump to mind are what this industry does is so absolutely critical. It's a massive industry, but it's also a small world. It's so important, truly important, and as I meet people outside of the industry, so many people in the general public don't have an appreciation for what you all do and how important it is to all of us in our day-to-day lives. So it's so big and so important, but at the same time, it's an intimate industry. Everyone is so very nice. Everyone is so approachable. This is not some place where you're walking in and everybody's just got their already established little cliques. Sure, there's lots of established long-term relationships, but it's an open and nice and kind and fun group of people to work with, which is a lot of what makes me stay. It makes me passionate about producing events that can help you all do what you do best. And everyone's just nice, just nice.
I agree. I agree. And the approachable thing, I tell people that all the time, that it doesn't matter. You get the CEOs of these companies, these big, huge companies, and they're just, you can go up to them and say hi and shake their hand. And it's just the most open and welcome family doing, in my opinion, the most important work on the planet. And you get to talk to those people at convention and to go, it's just incredible. I agree 100%. So happy that you're having the same experience. All right. Well, I think we are out of time here, Angie. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on and making the changes, keeping it new and exciting. I'm excited to experience that both as an attendee and an exhibitor. I really appreciate you getting up early. I know it's early for you, to hop on here, and your voice sounded great. So no worries.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the invitation. I am always, always happy to talk about what excites me every day.
And we will see you guys in Long Beach. So be safe, everybody. We'll talk to you next week, if not before. So thank you, Angie,
thanks
and
so much.
Everybody else.
Thank you.